All right. We are back here on the School News Podcast here on NPS Voices and Jazz 88. And very excited to have our next guest on with me. She is Dr. Elizabeth Keenan. She is the Associate Superintendent of Special Education and Student Support Services here at Minneapolis Public Schools. And Dr. Keenan and I are going to be talking about Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month, which is the observed every March, and just a little background in this. In 1987, President Reagan recognized the month of March as Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month to increase the public awareness of the needs and the potential of Americans with developmental disabilities and to provide the encouragement and opportunities they need to lead productive lives and to achieve their full potential. And Dr. Keenan, good to see you again. I know I think we met for the first time at the central office meeting earlier this month. So it's good to see you again, and I appreciate the time today. I know your job encompasses a lot. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do and really kind of your favorite part of this job?
Yes, it was so great. And thanks for having me here today. I appreciate meeting you in person, too. I've listened, pretty much every day and every morning coming on in to work. So I just really do appreciate, you know, meeting you. And so my role here in MPS in Minneapolis Public Schools is really to support all of our students who qualify for special education services. We provide services, and a lot of people don't know about this, but all the way from starting at birth all the way up to 22. So we really are on the bookends of the K through 12 experience. So we start with working with families that, you know, if a child is born, if the parent has some concerns around any development process in when they're going to see their doctor, the doctors can refer or the parent can refer. And we go into families, into their homes and support them that way. So up from birth to 3 years old, then we support students from 3 years old to 5 years old. And that generally will be in a classroom setting, like once or twice a week. We also support speech language services, which is a large portion of what we support because developing students and speech is so critical to those early ages. And then once we support kids all the way through high school, and then from 18 to 21, students who don't graduate, we will support them in terms of their IEP and provide them transition supports to get from for job, working independently, and supporting themselves after they, you know, graduate from our MPS system.
Can you give us a sort of a snapshot of like how many students in the district receive special education services?
Yeah, so we're one of the largest urban districts in the state of Minnesota. We have about 6,000 of our students receiving services on any given day. We have over 800 paraprofessionals, which are we call them special ed assistants. So those are the adults who support our students either on the bus or in a classroom. They are there from bell to bell with our students a lot of times. We also have over 800 special education teachers. Now they have a special license to work with our students. They generally provide reading, math, and social emotional supports. Our social workers also support our students. And then we also have speech language pathologists, we have occupational therapists, we have adaptive FIED, we have assistive technology specialists that also support our students. And then we also provide additional supports for our students. And interesting thing too for us, in over the last couple of years, we've seen a really big increase of our students continuing on from 18 to 22 in our Transition Plus program. We've seen more students take advantage of supporting them beyond high school through their IEP, and we've had increased over 100 students from the last 2 years till now. So that just shows the need that our students need, you know, to move beyond high school and then to get them job or college ready and to be able to support them in adulthood.
And one of those students at Transition Plus is DJ Nixter, our own DJ Nixter, graduate of Roosevelt from a couple of years ago. And now he goes to T Plus. He does some work with us here at KBEM and NPS Voices in the morning during this semester as well. And you got a chance to see DJ Nixter at the central office meeting earlier this month. Really cool experience for him. And he's been doing amazing work for us as well. Dr. Elizabeth Keenan is the Associate Superintendent of Special Education and Student Support Services here at Minneapolis Public Schools. We're talking about Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month, which of course is observed every March. So you mentioned the birth to 22 years of age. I think a lot of our listeners might be surprised to know that MPS Special Education Services kind of wraps around students from that birth to the age of 22. Can you go into a little bit more detail of like what exactly that looks like?
Yeah. And, you know, just kind of going back to your comment about DJ Nixter, it was so great to hear and see him. And you talk about how you can give him anything and he'll have a mix ready to go. And it's just amazing. He's also going to be a part of our resource fair, which is going to be on May 21st from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. over here at the Davis Center. So this resource fair is really about how do we directly support our families and give them information about what you were just asking. Like, we didn't know that we support students before they come into kindergarten and then after they leave as high school students. And it really gives us information from resources from what we provide here in Minneapolis Public Schools, but also what is outside, what other organizations are here to support our families and give our information to the families so they can support them. We're also going to be having a panel of, you know, not only staff, but parents and people with disabilities who can kind of talk about what their lives are like and how they can feel when they do feel supported. What does that look like? And what are some additional resources that they need to be able to be successful? And so that's really what we do. We are really, like you said, what is it between birth all the way to 22? Because we are outside of that traditional K through 12 experience, but really special education, the law that came into play in 1975 really did put the special education supports on the map. And we are required by law to provide these services starting at birth all the way up to 22. And, you know, each state kind of goes about it a little bit differently, but Minnesota is really one of those states that supports not only funding, but also making sure that we are providing the mandated services. And one thing too, what I would say is for families to know more about us, and we want families to participate in our Parent Advisory Council. We meet every month on the second Tuesday of the month. And second Wednesday of the month. And we talk about different topics. We bring information. We hear from our parents about what's working, what's not working. And so it's so important to hear their voice. So if you have anybody wants to go to our website, which is mps.com, MinneapolisPublicSchools.com, and then go to our special education page, we have a page that talks about our Parent Advisory Council, which gives out more information, talks about resources, and what do you do if you want to refer, if you want a referral, or if you have just questions on who can you talk to about your concerns that you might be seeing with your child.
Where do you think MPS is excelling especially well when it comes to special education?
I think there's a real momentum here, starting with our school board and our superintendent, and just bringing an awareness of special education. What really attracted me to working here in Minneapolis Public Schools is this is one of the top priorities of the district, from the school district to the superintendent to every school. And really the big thing for us is really like, what does that support look like for students once a student has an IEP, an individual education program or plan, and how do we really work on inclusion? And that's going to be one of our strongest things that we're going to be working on over the next several years and excelling in. We really want to be that school district that supports that we are an inclusive district. We support all students and meet their needs and making sure that their experience is like any other student's experience, and we meet them where they're at and support them and provide them with that educational experience all the way from birth all the way up to 22.
And I know things are going very well, but you know, I think the strive for improvement never stops, right? So what are some of the focus areas that that MPS is really focusing on for improving when it comes to special education?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the one thing too. And so going forward, we are really going to continue to really kind of look at that blue ribbon, or that's like, what are those districts that look like to really provide that inclusive practices? And we call them universally designed practices, because if we really are that district that supports all students, special education, our multilingual learners, we provide that in the general education environment, that really provides a blue ribbon standard for what does it look like to be an inclusive school and provide those practices, and that we are applying those practices across the board. And going back to why we're talking about this to, you know, every March, this is really what it's about. It's about making sure that anybody who has a disability, that every entity is supporting them and really providing those inclusionary practices and inclusive practices within a school system. And that's really what we're going to continue to strive for.
Just a couple more items for Dr. Elizabeth Keenan, who is the Associate Superintendent of Special Education and Student Support Services here at Minneapolis Public Schools. Now, funding is always a topic of discussion. It can at times be a thorny issue for those of us who, you know, maybe haven't been as, you know, keeping up with the state legislature and everything that's going on with the current session and everything. What has been the primary issue, the primary focus, and what can be done about it?
So two big things that are coming up for us as we look at a district, because, you know, Minneapolis over the last several years have had to reduce the budget because they've had a budget deficit. And the goal is to continue to match, you know, spend what we are saying that we're spending. There has been truly a commitment to support special education because it is a mandated program. We do receive funding from the state and from the federal government, but it does not provide 100% of what we spend. So about 60% of what we spend on a teacher is provided for with reimbursement through the state or through the federal government, but the cross subsidy or the taxpayer dollars that have to go into providing special education is around that 40%. And now, over the last couple of years, Minnesota at the state legislative level up that reimbursement cost to be able to kind of provide a stronger, not 100%, but more additional funding. So they were getting it up to closer to that 75%, which is great. Now that's in jeopardy. So right now they have a committee that's working on how can you look at providing that into the future. And so really working with your legislators and your Congress and your senators to make sure that they're supporting continuing that $250 million that they invested over the last couple of years into special education to continue that going forward. So that is going to be huge, because if we did not have that additional funding, it would be really difficult right now based on the funding sources that we wouldn't be affected. And we don't want to reduce services. We don't want to have not as many supports student for our students, but we are mandated to do it. But we really have to balance that out. And what does that look like? So that is going to be a huge one for our parents to advocate. The other part of it too is with our tuition billing. Minneapolis Public Schools receives a lot of students. And tuition billing is when other students or our students leave, or other students who are here in Minneapolis Public Schools system, we have a tuition, if a charter school has a student there, we have to pay that part of the charter school. We really want to look at reform, because Minneapolis Public Schools does have the largest amount of charter schools in the entire Minnesota system. And we are having to pay at a higher rate for the tuition rates for students who are not even attending our own public schools. And it takes away from our own student information or funding that we're being able to provide. So we're really wanting to try to work with our state legislators and to be able to say, how do we look at that tuition rates and how to billing so that it's more fair, so that we're not having to pay for students who aren't even attending in our own school system.
And last thing for you, Dr. Keenan, where should listeners go to find out more about special education, the criteria for receiving it? Where can they find all that information?
Yes. So go to mpsschools.com and then you click on special education, and that's where all of our resources are at that page. We're going to continue to work on it. One of the things we're asking our special education advisory group, our parent group, is to review that and kind of give us insight into how we can update that information. So we would love it if people go there. And if there's any information, there's also an area that they can submit a question and we will be able to contact and reach out to them.
Dr. Elizabeth Keenan, Associate Superintendent of Special Education and Student Support Services at Minneapolis Public Schools. Great information. Great to talk with you. We really appreciate the time today, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Yes, thank you so much.